Saturday we have Briska Formula 2s and the World of Shale round. We've got 44 of those, and as typical with Mildenhall, we'll probably have the best of the best that there is out there on shale racing at the current time. Their World of Shale final is coming up on the 15th of September, so it's not far away. So it's another opportunity to get some track time, check on car setup, really for the big final that's looming.
Super numbers, 44 Briska F2s, 47 bangers booked in.
That's right, yeah, we've got micro bangers, which are always popular. It gives an opportunity for the guys to race something a little bit different, and as we've seen with micro bangers, they're very, very fast and very spectacular, and there's a lot of action. So it's appealed to a lot of drivers, and I think it will be a cracking night there. If the weather's on our side, as hopefully it should be, I think we'll have a great night at Wesserow on Saturday.
It's the start of a very busy bank holiday weekend for motorsport fans in Suffolk, because on bank holiday Monday, you've got so much going on. The record win bangers are here for, I think it's round 8 of their series.
Yes, the Whip Street Motors Championship is gathering momentum now. It's that time of year now where we're going to see one or two guys make breaks. It's been one or two people kind of drop out in recent weeks of the form guide there, but I think that's because of holidays and various things. But now we're going to see probably more of a pattern develop until the big showdown at the end of the year on that one.
The National Hot Rods are here at Vauxhall on Bank Holiday Monday for the first time since Speed Weekend. Their championship is now underway.
It is. It's round two. We've had round one at Aldershot. Round two is here on Monday. But the guys are going to find the track a little bit different. We've done some repairs. We've got some fresh tarmac on the inner line of both bends. And it may throw one or two of them out, but I'm sure it will be as spectacular as ever. There's 27 of them, so they're really wanting to set their markers early in the game.
Decent starts for a couple of Suffolk drivers who we should mention. Aaron Dew, first of all, who came in during the summer from Needham Market, had a very good second season. What are you expecting from his third in the sport?
I think Aaron is settling down quite well now. He's sold the Tigra, and I think sometimes if you've got two cars in the camp, sometimes that can be a little bit unsettling. If you've got the one car, like he has now with the Ginetta, you've got that and you've got to concentrate on that and you've got to get that right. I think the temptation sometimes, if you've got a second car, is if your main car isn't quite right, to fall back on the other one. And now I've seen it before at World Finals where drivers have brought out two cars and then been completely puzzled as to which one they really want to race. So I think the fact that the Tigra is gone, he's concentrating on the Ginetta, I think it's paid dividends. He looks stronger at Aldershot, certainly. Aaron's got the right team around him, very much a family team, close-knit team, which I think works very, very well. He's certainly very focused. He's certainly very talented. So, yeah, I think Aaron will come. It's still a long season ahead until we get to next year, but I just think Aaron's going to be there or thereabout, and every opportunity is there for him.
And Chris Hurd of Newmarket, an absolutely flawless performance here for Speed Weekend. He did have the thing on rails, literally. Sixth last time out. In between, he's been over competing in South Africa. Tell us about that.
Yeah, as part of his prize of winning the World Championship, each year the world champion gets the opportunity to fly out to South Africa, where the sport is very, very big out there, and compete in their Speed Weekend and their national championship. And, of course, as you said, Chris here at the World Final was absolutely dominant, flawless, really. Put in a fantastic drive. A couple of weeks after that, he went to Aldershot, where round one started, and he just kind of settled himself back in. Then he went up to Hednesford for the national championship weekend. Again, the car was on fire. No one could really compete with him, so he took the national title. Then 2 days after that, flew out to South Africa, as you say. Had a few days setting up the car. They very kindly built him almost an exact replica of his car over here in terms of appearance and styling. And he went straight out and came away. I think it was about a sixth place in their national championship before flying back. So it's been a busy time for Chris, but he really is on fire at the moment.
We mentioned the record win bangers and the National Hot Rods. Grand Prix midgets this weekend. Tell us about those.
Yes, it's been a few years since we've had the Grand Prix midgets here. Midgets themselves derive way back to the origins of stock car racing in the early 1950s, and they were a regular formula with Speedworth right up until the mid-70s, and then the Grand Prix Midget Club was formed, and they've been an independent formula ever since. If you've never seen them before, and you're an engineering enthusiast, they really are quite an incredible car. They're single-seater, some are front-engined, some are rear-engined. They are styling-wise, probably quite akin to Grand Prix cars or Formula 2 cars from the sort of 60s and 70s in terms of the layout, but the engineering is second to none, and a lot of the cars, they're even running offset engines where the engine's on the side of the car to give a better weight distribution, so the driver sits to one side. So if you're an engineering enthusiast, these are incredible cars to see. They run on 10-inch slick tyres. They are renowned as one of the fastest formulas that there is in oval motorsport. We've got 19 of them, which is a good turnout. If the weather's on our side on Monday, they really will be a sight to behold. They're terrific little cars.
To round things off on an August bank holiday, it can only be the Bangor Caravan Destruction Derby. This is a real treat for the people in charge of making the circuit look pretty, isn't it?
Yes, you're right, Graham, and it does take a lot of clearing up. I mean, as you say, it's quite ironic. We're down on the circuit at the moment, painting everything, painting all the curbs, and we know full well come Monday that will all be destroyed, and it's a massive clear-up operation. But it is a lot of fun. Yeah. It is a lot of fun. Oaks Caravans have been behind the event for some time now, so have Whip Street, and it is a lot of fun. We're absolutely ramped. We've got 20 Bangor Caravan combinations. We're fully booked. We can't take any more. And it is a fight to the finish. But there is a serious side. You do have to have at least one part of the caravan left attached to your car, even if it is just the tow bar or something like that. You can only win if there's a part of your caravan left, but as we've all seen, half the fun is crashing through the caravans and the mayhem and the mess, and it really is something quite spectacular. So if you haven't seen that before, you know, it's something that's a real hoot for the families to come and see.
Just finally, Dean, can I get your thoughts on a recent announcement from the government? All cars set to be electric potentially by 2040. What does that mean for the future of Vauxhall, for the future of oval motorsport in Suffolk, perhaps?
I think personally, as most people will know me, I am very much old school, and I like it that way. But I have to say, we do have to embrace change. And I think in some ways it can be a very positive thing. We've seen that with the Grand Prix. It certainly attracts very big sponsorship because green issues are very important, very prevalent in the media. So it attracts very good sponsorship. And what we've seen is that a lot of the Grand Prix have been staged in inner cities without any real problems from neighbours. Which is always a concern to any motorsport that makes noise, and it's as important to us as it is to Brandtach, Silverstone, anywhere in the world that runs cars. We have to be mindful of our neighbours and do our best. And I think, you know, by that time, whether I'm still around or not, I don't know, but I think it could be something to embrace. The technology isn't that far away. Last year I spoke to one or two national hot rod builders, as far as they were concerned, the technology isn't that far away for oval cars to be, you know, electric or battery-powered. Quite how it's going to appeal to the public, I don't know, because obviously part of oval racing is the noise from the cars. But having said that, I always think that's something that can be easily compensated if the cars are made in the right way. We've seen with the electric cars, they do still have that kind of whine and that squeal that a Grand Prix car has. So I think probably the noise can be in a different manner. So let's see what happens. I think it's exciting. On a slightly political note, I really don't know how the government are going to enforce that at the time. I think it's all very well putting that into place now. But of course, as we know, none of those politicians will be there at the time when they need to enforce it. So they're laying down something for the future for somebody else to deal with. But yes, we're not daunted by it. We've had to come through other things in the past. There's not many cars that are built rear-wheel drive now, so we have to allow for the fact that the, you know, engines are changing, transmissions are changing, cars are changing, life is changing. So we have to move with that.
Well, you know, we will still be doing these interviews in 25 years, Simon, and Chris Hurd will probably still be cornering on rails.
He probably will be. He'll probably have a couple of HP 11s in the boot, and he'll be away, and we'll probably be sat here in our electric chairs talking about it, Graham. So yeah, it's something to embrace, I think. There's no doubt about it that the future seems to be electric. The only thing that concerns me on a personal basis is that nobody has spoken about the cost of electricity, which on a controversial note is a very expensive fuel. So It's all very well saying that it may replace diesel, it may replace petrol and everything else, but what will be the cost of charging vehicles for electricity? No one's mentioned that yet.